The talent show, The Voice in America, featured one of Mooney Goldswild's favorite all-time songs this week.
It's not that easy being green.
I know that's right.
Having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or maybe gold.
I love gold.
Me too. Or something much more colorful like that.
Ain't that the truth?
Yep.
It's not that easy being green. Seems to blend in with so many other ordinary things. And people tend to pass you over. Cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles on the water or stars in the sky.
Yeah. But green's the color of spring.
Yes,
you know? Yeah.
Oh, and green can be cool and friendly like.
Just like you. And green can be big like an ocean.
Or as important like a river.
That was Kermit the Frog and CeeLo Green there in that beautiful duet. Well, being green is one of the lessons that Mooney Goldswild has tried to preach over the last 17 years we've been on air. Reusing and recycling are very dear to our hearts. But here's a question for you. What if Kermit the Frog were to pass away or die in an accident? God forbid. Would it be okay to recycle Kermit? That's exactly what we're talking about today. Taking animals that have died in accidents of natural causes and reusing their parts. Conceptual artist and fashion roadkill designer Jess Eaton is in the BBC studio in Brighton. She's also the co-owner of the Eaton Knot Shop in Brighton. Good afternoon, Jess.
Good afternoon.
Jess, if I were to walk into your shop right now, what would I see?
Well, the shop is full of beautiful, extraordinary things that John and I collect. You've got fabulous vintage industrial lights that John has restored and renovated. We have lots of natural history examples in beautiful Victorian domes. We have conversation pieces for your house, really, things that will set your house apart from everybody else's. And, of course, we have my roadkill couture as well.
Tell me about that, because that is of great interest to all of us here.
Well, I have my history really as an artist is in fashion direction. I find it's an easy way for me to express myself through accessories and clothing. And through my partnership with John Knott, the natural history part takes the foreground. And it was just an idea I had after my last collection, Trashin', which was taking everyday objects and rubbish and recycling them and making them into beautiful couture. It seemed like the natural progression to create a collection made out of our natural resources that would otherwise go wasted. So it's a collection of garments made out of animals, birds that have passed away in other circumstances that I've then turned into couture.
So, in fact, you're talking about things we would understand, like, say, skins and fur,
yeah,
and feathers.
Exactly.
So you must need lots of them. I mean,
I do,
things,
yes,
like mice and rats on the road wouldn't,
yeah,
give you very much fur. So have you the word out for anyone who finds these things to scrape them up and let you know?
Yeah. Well, it's really funny because when I first had the idea, that was obviously the first problem. Where on earth am I going to get enough material? It took me a whole year to collect enough foxes to make a fox jacket, for instance, just because I have to wait for them to cross my path, you know, people would bring them into the shop. The more well-known I became, though, the more frequent the materials were. So I now have four chest freezers full of stuff at any time that I can go and get more materials to work with. People bring stuff to me all the time now.
But these are all squashed on the road and mushed up and covered in guts and blood and everything,
yeah,
else.
Some of them.
Who cleans it up and makes
me,
it
I
nice?
Do everything.
Chemist.
I do everything. I do everything. I skin the animals. I tan the hides. I strip the bones of the meat. We reconstruct skeletons if they are salvageable. If an animal hasn't died on the road, funnily enough, roadkill is actually the least productive source of materials because the animals are so traumatized. But if an animal dies of natural causes, often we can completely reassemble the skeleton as well. But I do everything. I have I take it very seriously, and I have a relationship with every single garment that I make because I have done it from the beginning to the end.
Is it not, though, just a bit disgusting, the whole process?
Well, I mean, it's no different to a butcher or a surgeon or, you know, anybody who works with the body. I think it's quite fascinating. I mean, you don't want to get covered in something that's very rotten or, you know, it can be quite... It can be icky, but it's natural. And you know, if every steak that you eat was an animal that had been slaughtered, you know, and somebody has to do that. So it's no different.
Well, Jess, I have to say that you are the normal one and the rest of us are the peculiar ones, I think.
I agree.
After all, for most of our history, Homo sapiens is around something like 200,000 years, 196,000 is the oldest known skeleton. And for almost all of that time, apart from a few centuries, we have used almost exclusively animal material, animal skins, the bits of body parts for our clothing. And I'm looking down at myself as I sit here. I have a pair of leather shoes on.
Exactly.
And I also have a sweater which is knitted from the wool of a sheep. But the rest of the stuff is of indeterminate origin, and that's very peculiar indeed. You're also connected, I think, as an artist with the great Dutch still life tradition where they got all these rabbits and birds and things and they arranged them in a pile and they painted them. And some of these paintings are absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And of course, this goes on into our contemporary art now, and you have things like pickled sheep and sharks in formaldehyde. So I think you're in our Georgie O'Keeffe. You still love painting the skulls of cattle in and so on. So I think you are you're the mainstream. It's we should be explaining why we're not doing what you're doing. What do you think?
I totally agree, and I'm pleased that you say that, because I spend half my life explaining to people exactly that every animal that you eat has a head and has a pelt, and it all gets discarded, thrown away. We're not confronted by death anymore at all. The old-fashioned butchers are gone. You don't see the carcasses hanging in the windows anymore. It's all little pink squares of meat in the supermarket, so you can buy it guilt-free. It doesn't have a face. Mm. People, they don't associate leather with being skin anymore. People get upset because I use fur, but they've got fur on their feet. It's just it's had the hair taken out of it. So it's all very hypocritical.
But the thing about it is that so much farming has been done for fur and animals kept in cruel conditions that there's an antipathy at these latitudes anyway for wearing things that are made out of fur. So if the fur has been got from an animal that died anyway, how can the person wearing it prove that they didn't buy a mink coat from farmed mink? How can they say it's a rabbit that was killed on the road?
Well, I can tell you, working with animals that aren't farmed, they're not the same for a start. So my jacket made out of fox, the furs blend into each other, don't you? Well, this one's not. It's like a patchwork because these all came from different families and they're all different colours and stuff. So you can see immediately that these aren't farmed animals. But also I've developed a designed a label that goes on the outside of the garment that sort of protects the wearer. With the label roadkill couture, because people can see from the name that it's been sourced in another way. But I hope that I can change people's thinking a little bit.
In terms of your work day to day and working on these roadkill animals, what do you dislike most?
I dislike the when I initially get an animal, I'm very wary of the fleas and the ticks. I don't like them. Being brought up in the countryside as a child, I was bitten a lot because we had animals. They'd bring ticks and fleas in and stuff. So I'm a bit wary. I don't like the ticks. But if you freeze an animal, it stays frozen for a few days. You will eventually kill the fleas. So that's okay. Or I have to fumigate them straight away so that the fleas and ticks are dead. And then when I've opened up an animal, it's I hate to say it's the feces that gets me. I don't like poo. It's horrible stuff.
They haven't been fasting or anything before they've been killed.
No,
like,
and often they're traumatized. And often they've got poo on them. So they've been traumatized. So they've in their death throes, if you like. You know, they might have shat themselves.
Most of these things are host specific, Jess, aren't they? I mean, the flea of a dog doesn't like to eat you or me. It prefers another dog and so on. So you might get bitten once by a flea that really wants to try out to see what you taste like, but it's not going to take up residence on you usually.
No, of course not. No, it's not a serious thing, but it's just one of those things. It just makes my skin crawl a bit. I just don't like them. But then again, you have to be careful of ticks because they do carry Lyme's disease, so you know, you have to be aware.
I hope you're going to do penance for a terrible atrocity committed by the women of Great Britain on one of our most beautiful birds in the interests of couture. I'm sure you have a little shrine up or a plaque on the wall, a sort of a ceremonial plaque, to the great crested grebe, which you well know was used as a headdress. The entire grebe apparently was put into a hat, this was used, and this became so popular that the poor old grebe went down to something like 180 pairs for the whole of Britain. Would you like to pay homage to the grebe and repent and do penance on public and so on? You know? Would you? Let's hear it.
I apologise to all the grebes. ended up as headgear.
That's 150 years ago, of course.
But do you only use skins and feathers and things? Do you use skulls? I mean, how could you use skulls as an ornament?
I use them as jewellery. I use especially the bird skulls. I like the bird skulls the best. I use them a lot. I sell quite a few of my skull necklaces. I reinforce them with resin, so they last quite a long time. And you know, you don't want to tread on them, but they're quite sturdy. I'll probably start making buttons as well out of the skulls. And I use them in headpieces as well. Skulls are beautiful. John, my business partner, he has a collection of a private collection of skulls, and he has over 350 of them. You know, it was never my intention to stuff an animal. I'm not interested in stuffing them, but I am interested in extracting the skeleton and the skull. I think that they're fascinating.
And Jess, the vital question, how much do you charge?
They start off at a humble £15. That's the cheapest thing in the shop, and that is for a rabbit tail necklace. And they go up to the thousands. The hats started at £200. I mean, you can buy a fascinator from about £75 to £150. And then the hats start at £200. And the larger wedding pieces, the larger garments, they start at £500 and go up.
Do you make wedding dresses out of roadkill?
I make headdresses, accessories, capes, all sorts of beautiful feather pieces. Yes, I do.
And what kind of a reaction do you get to your pieces, Jess?
Oohs and ahs and wow, that's beautiful. That's what I get from my as
well,
a reaction.
Ooh and ah, Jess Eaton. You've been wonderful today on this particular programme, and thank you indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great fun.